the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing our series on the spiritual battle, in this recording Dave looks into standing strong. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 4.
We'll be looking at our battle, our war. It's sometimes we like to think of comfort and ease and rest, but we're not. We have an enemy that is out to attack us on every front. We know he's an expert in all those tactics: diversion, doubt, deceit, deception, discouragement, distraction, dilution, discredit. And we can go on and on with all the D's. That's his job. That's his work. And our job is to understand that we are indeed in a fight. The enemy is does everything he can. As I called you, the enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. That's his job, that's his work. And we must again come to the word and come to some of these great men of God who have gone before us, understood that we're in a battle, we're in a war. Michael Bishop Ryle, many years ago, great guy. He was one of those. Yeah, he was CV, wasn't he? Yeah. But again, some of those great guys. Be prepared for the enmity of the gates of hell. Put on the whole armour of God. Although he did say, be careful that you don't trust. What did he say? Take special care not to trust in the armour of God, but in the God of the armour. That's William Gurnell, actually. That's quite interesting. The Tower of David contains 1,000 bucklers, all ready for use of God's people. The weapons of our warfare have been tried by millions of poor sinners like ourselves and never been found to fail. This warfare, I'm aware, is a thing of which many know nothing. Talk to them about it and they're ready to set you down as a madman, an enthusiast, or a fool. And yet it is as real and true as any war in the world has ever seen, if not truer. The saddest symptom about many so-called Christians is the utter absence of anything like conflict and fight against spiritual apathy in their Christianity. They eat, they drink, they dress, they work, they amuse themselves, they get money, they spend money, they go through their brief round of formal religious services once or twice a week. But of the great spiritual warfare, its watchings and struggles, its agonies, anxieties, its battles and contests, all the things they appear to know nothing at all. Let us take care that this case is not our own. When we were called to rise and fight. Wesley said this: it is no marvel that the devil does not love field preaching, which means preaching in open air, which will be on Saturday. He said, no, neither do I, he said, neither do I. I love a commodious room, nice word for you, commodious room, a soft cushion, a handsome pulpit. I love that, he said. But where is my zeal if I do not trample all these underfoot in order to save one more soul? So we are in a battle, and we just remember that. And I suppose today we talk about standing strong. The Bible in Ephesians says, stand, take your stand, take your stand. And we must do that. Standing, I guess we see how and where and what with, because we can easily be swayed and thrown aside by so many things. But first we understand what we are about. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8.
For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Paul, at the end of his life, how did he describe his life? My life is an offering. It's not mine. I gave it to you, Lord. But dear me, I fought the fight. A good fight, the best fight. And of course, it was a fight. And we can trace his life. He fought against the world, against his own flesh, against the enemy. He fought. That's how he described his life. He described his life not just as a fight. These lovely metaphors as a race. Well, he wasn't ambling, was he? You know, when we're in a race, we're running. We have, and he's finished the course. He's finished the race, and sadly, we've seen many start the race, haven't we? and drifted off, not finished, not even got close to finishing. And the devil didn't mind us that. He just wants to veer us off. Kept the faith, kept the ground, kept... So that is standing fast, standing, understanding that we are in a battle. And the enemy's out to do anything he can to, as we said before, cause dishonor to his name. I think a few weeks ago we talked about, you know, if he can discredit our testimony, then of course he discredits. People say, oh, look at them, you know, look at them. They are a bunch of hypocrites, isn't they? And of course, sometimes that's an excuse, we know that. Sadly, sometimes it's been, you know, they point to put a finger on people, and they're absolutely right sometimes. But again, so that won't be an excuse before heaven, of course, but we must be wary. Thankfully, when we talk about standing firm, standing fast, thankfully, we talked about Psalm 73 on Sunday, and he said, Lord, even though I was there, he said, you were continually with me, and you were holding on to my right hand. Even when he was questioning the Lord, questioning how God worked, questioning this, he said, Lord, you were with me continually, and you were holding my hand. Yeah. Listen to what Paul said. Same chapter, 2 Timothy 4, his last will and testament, I suppose, his last words, 2 Timothy 4, 16 to 18.
The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me, may not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength, so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And you rescue me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen.
Again, deserted by everyone. But he said, the Lord stood with me. And again, that's great. And of course, we'll see in a minute, we do stand together. We have a fellowship, we support, strengthen, all those things. But he said, you know what? If everyone else falls away, and of course, he understood that. He said, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood with me. Bless the Lord will stand with us and empower us, strengthen us. And I guess then he, of course, in the other version, he said, I'll be delivered from the lion's mouth. Well, again, lots of interpretations from that. The enemy himself, obviously the Roman Empire, Nero, and lots of other, but whatever it was, God was going to deliver him until he'd finish his purpose, preach the gospel, and he would again take him, protect him from every evil work, and take him up to glory. But the Lord will stand with us. So when we are standing, if no one else is standing with us, don't have a pity party. Lord, why this? Weather? The Lord's standing with us. Mm-hmm. The Lord, say, the Lord's with me. The Lord's with me. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, 20, 21, and then verse 4, verse 1.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends.
Stand firm, how? In the Lord. Again, he's getting our thinking right. Remember, our thinking will always take us from the far from the Lord. He said, look, your citizenship is in heaven. There's where we are born from. There's where we are heading to. There's our heart. There's our mentality. We are investing in eternity. So the things of this earth, when we think, oh, look at that, look at that. Wait a minute, eternity. In light of eternity, we judge it. And then he says, because of that, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in him. There's that principle of standing firm, standing fast, stationary. In one sense, stationary. Obviously, we're always walking with the Lord, but taking a firm stand. Our foundation is secure, and then that sort of what we've certainly lacked and lost in this generation, perseverance, pressing in when it gets tough. People don't want that, do they? People just give up. And of course, it's easy to change the things around them than themselves, isn't it? So we have people who change. Change their look, change their job maybe, change their husband or wife, or change this and change that, and they may not. It's them. It's me needs changing. But that's the difficult bit. That's the difficult bit. We're standing firm, standing strong in Him. We have, of course, we've sadly so often diluted the God's word and the gospel. We've said, "Come and see Jesus." Well, that's true, but then it follows, "Come and die." See, God has called us when He bids us. Bonhoeffer said, "When God bids a man, He bids him come and die, die to who I am." And we're standing in the Lord because the enemy loves us. This is Kuhnel again. Above all sins, guard against bold or arrogant ones. You are not beyond the danger of such. If caught in the web of presumption or presumptuous sins, call quickly to God for help. If you hesitate, you only give Satan time to entangle you more tightly. But if you cry out to God in true repentance, He will come at once to rescue you. The sooner you yield to the Spirit, the less damage is done to your soul. And we've talked about that. And because the enemy's sin was pride, DME loves to feed that into us, doesn't he? Feed into us. Getting our self-worth from what we do or what we are or how we look and all those kind of things that the world says, if you have this, you'll be... And the Lord says, no. In me, because of me. So we're standing with the Lord, because of the Lord, in the Lord. We're standing strong and firm. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14.
Watch, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity.
Watch, of course we looked at watch before, means to be sleepless. Get yourself awake, isn't it? And that means you're alert, you're ready, you're seeing things clearly. You're seeing the enemy's attacks on yourself. You're seeing what's happening in the world. You're seeing it not from our point of view, but from prophetic and God's point of view, what's happening. So we are alert. And then with watchfulness, of course, because pray. If you're not praying, you're actually not watching. If you're not watching, you're not praying. They interlink because He said, watch and pray. He said in the garden, watch and pray, so you'll be alert. The spirit is willing, flesh can be very weak sometimes. We watch, be steadfast, stand firm in what? The faith. This faith that we have. Here he is for you, ladies. He says, act like men. Be men! Of course, you've got to be careful to say that, isn't it? But we are coming from a point where he's saying, look, men were there, weren't they? Front line. Protect, provide, you know. If someone's come to the door, a burglar come in, Jack, want to see who that is? No, the man is there at the front, need to protect and provide. That's what he's talking about. Act like men. Be strong. Hallelujah. And of course, then he throws this in, doesn't he? Because we're standing first, everything done with the love of God, with the love of God. So watch, be watchful. We are looking, we are alert. And if we can't see the enemy's work in our land, we are blind, aren't we? We are certainly blind. If we can't see the enemy's work over our youngsters, over family life, over the unborn, or this side of life, or the elderly at the other side of life, we see attack from all sides. And of course, as the Bible says, as we approach the end, that will get intensified. The Bible says, 2 Timothy says, in the last days, it'll get a lot worse. Be watchful. And as we read a quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones last week, we are, if that doesn't move us to be people who fight and pray, it should, who are we, he said? That should cause us, because we are concerned. We are the people who have the greatest concern, because we know that eternity waits after. So praying, seeking, stirred in our hearts to really be salt and light in these last days. Salt and light. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 12.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, set you,
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand.
Again, the enemy is there, but what's our response? Sober, self-controlled, standing firm in faith. In the faith. Faith in what? In the Lord, of course. Faith in faith is nothing. It's just mental. But faith in him, this faith, that's when he says, in the faith, he's talking about in the Lord. We're standing firm in him. And when we stand firm in him, the Bible is very clear, we stand in him, then we resist. If you try and resist him in yourself and you think you're clever than him, you've no chance. You've no chance. Standing firm because you know that your brothers, again, thankfully, again, we sometimes, again, the devil loves us to play the pity bit. Oh, no one's gone through what I've gone through. No one's gone. Nah, let me tell you. Yeah. Someone's already gone before you and got a lot worse than you. Just pick up your Bible and then you think you've got it bad. Read Job, isn't it? Yeah. All right, and one day, everything, bang, left him his wife and a few servants. Oh, all the best. And then he had to go to his health. Paul, his testimony, you know, shipwrecked, stoned, 39 stripes, and you go through it. So when we talk about that, we're just, again, reminding ourselves of who we are. But then the Bible says, you know, your suffering is just temporal, just a momentary, but then God will come. And what will he do? He says, perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, establish you. It starts with us standing firm in him, making sure our time with him, our foundation is in him. We are inquiring of him. We are leaning on him. Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, and as we said before, as couples, we're praying together because, again, the enemy loves to put a spanner in the work there. And do you say, should everything be argument-free? Well, not unless one of you is deaf and blind. No, but again, resolution, isn't it? Resolving those things and saying, sorry, you were right again, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not saying who's saying that, but yeah. But God's good. Stand fast, firm in him. Well, what else are we standing firm in? 2 Thessalonians 2:15-17.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Stand fast in that which we taught you. Now, again, we can talk about God's word. We obviously stand fast in that. But there are good traditions that have been passed down to us. Now, there have been probably not so good traditions and traditions that can come and go. But there's good traditions that have been passed down for us by men and women of God. And when you look at their lives, you can see there's patterns in their life. Of course, the Lord is our pattern. What was his pattern? In the house of God, in the presence of God, in God's word. That was his pattern. That was his tradition. And when we see our forebears and we look at their lives and things they did and didn't do, we could say, well, I'm not sure about that. But let me just say, again, they were on the money most of the time. They were on the money most of the time. And we see today where we've sort of said, oh, we're a bit more, you know, free, isn't it? Free. Be careful there. The devil don't mind us having a bit of liberty. But again, as Paul said, make sure you're liberty. Don't get you bound and you're in trouble. Because it's all about, it isn't about your liberty. It's about what the Lord wants, isn't it? What do you want me to be and do, Lord? Not my feelings and all those things, which again, has drifted in. Thankfully, that generation, certainly the last generation before, they weren't a feeling generation, were they? And maybe probably to the other extent. But even so, they were tough old, you know, things came against them, but they wouldn't stop them. Up they'd get and go, wouldn't they? I think my nans, glory be, hard as nails. And they went through some real tough widows at young ages, but they were, you know, and lost kids and all this. Were tough. And would be, you know, persevering. Persevering was their watchword. And standing firm. Stand firm in the traditions that we were taught. And of course, when we do, he loves, he comforts, We have hope, don't we? Oh, bless the Lord, he establishes us. It's good to read good biographies of good, great men and women and see the patterns in their life. Mm-hmm. You'll find certainly amazing similarities in their lives. Mm-hmm. They were, I can tell you very clearly, always loved God's word, always loved prayer, and that's great patterns. But other patterns they can see in their lives, and got some biographies upstairs, and great biographies to learn of from people. So standing firm in the thing, in God's word, and in the traditions that passed down to us. Philippians 1.
Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me.
Again, standing worthy of the gospel. Remember, our report card, the only report card that we really need to know and really need to pay attention to what God thinks, what God is saying. Worthy of the gospel, standing firm, one mind, together. What are we doing? We're standing firm in the gospel, striving together for the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. He says it, don't be afraid, don't be terrified. Why? Because this gospel is the gospel that can save. This is Catherine Booth, General Booth's wife, who was as mighty as him as well. Many do not recognize the fact, as they ought, that Satan has got men fast asleep in sin, and that is his great device to keep them so. He does not care what we do if he can do that. We may sing songs about the sweet by and by, preach sermons and say prayers until doomsday. He will never concern himself about us if we don't wake anybody up. But if we wake the sleeping sinner, he will gnash on us with his teeth. This is our work, to wake people up. Hallelujah. Stand firm in the gospel, in the proclamation of the gospel, because when the gospel is preached, people are then realize they are sinners in need of a saviour. Wesley was very clear. He said, when they talked to him about it, he said, I preach God's law. See, because when you preach God's law, you realize you're a sinner. If you don't know God's law, you don't know you're a sinner, do you? If you say, do not do that, and I've done it, or God says, do that, and I haven't done it, then you don't know you're a sinner. But once you know you're a sinner, then you realize how great a saviour he is. Hallelujah. Declaration. Our job is to indeed show him salt and light. Light, what does light do? Yeah, wakes people up. Shows their need of a saviour. So standing firm together in the declaration of the gospel. Sometimes we get caught up, don't we? And I've, again, when you've been in church long enough, you've seen lots of teachings. And of course, some of it is not inaccurate. But again, the devil doesn't mind us diverting into demonology and how the devil works. And look, some of that, who knows? Who knows? Our job is to do what we know. Preach God's word. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Then we don't know what we're praying, but we know we're praying with the Spirit of God. And if he can stop us, as she said, stop us waking people up. He didn't mind us singing songs and being la la la, everything's good. Remember we said the other day, the devil comes to church. Yeah, he comes to church. But we want to, again, wake people up. Wake people up with the gospel. Standing firm in that. James 5, 7-11.
Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's come in. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. We have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Stand firm even in difficulty. Stand firm in the truth, in difficulties and discouragements, and don't deflect. Because he said there, don't grumble against one another, because that's something when we are not feeling so good. We take the attention off ourselves to get ourselves right, and we focus on others. And we're good at it, aren't we? If you've got a husband or wife, you say, that's what they're there for. No. And we can easily do that. And he says, be careful. Stand firm in him, in the truth. And remember those who've gone before us. That's why we have great examples in the Bible. Of course, he picks up Job again there, doesn't he? Of people who stood fast, even in difficulty, even in opposition. And thankfully, with God's strength, we can. And that's a great test. That's a great, when we talk about spiritual warfare, that's a powerful thing. Powerfully, because the devil came to him and he said, let me look at him. He said, you see, it's my son Job. He said, he's a good one. Oh, look at him. He said, you've had a crack at him and he's still standing firm. Still standing firm. He even got the wife having a go at him, didn't he? Even the wife. So he's still standing firm. He said, ah, let me have another go at him. And of course, we have Job and he's up and down. But oh, he's still, I know my Redeemer's alive. Bless the Lord. And again, we find God's revelation to him in those chapters. God, get up now. Come on, Job. Stand up like a man. Let's have a chat. And then what did he say? Lord, I've heard about you. Now I've seen you. Lord, I've just broken before you. Repent in dust and ashes. Thank you, Father. And of course, God restored him. But stand firm in the truth. In difficulties and discouragements. Of course, we have this verse, we've read this last few times. Take our stand. Ephesians 6, 10 to 20.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh or blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of it, this darkness, world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fiercely make known the mysteries of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
Again, another standing against, standing in him, with him, on his word, through difficulties, but our stand is against the enemy. What he's doing, what he's perpetrating, we stand against his wiles, his methods. Remember, he has a method. Sometimes, you know, we can see how he works, we can see what he's trying to do in our lives, but what are we to do? Resist, stand firm, stand strong in him, stand against him. How do we stand in him? With all the armour, with the Lord upon us, with his word, with the Spirit of God. And we are taking our stand against him and all that he's doing. It was J.C. Ryle who said this. Do we feel anything of war in our inward man? See, if you're watching the television and stories come up and they don't cause you to get righteously angry. There's things that get me angry that it's not righteous. Just get me angry. Then we need to just, as he says by you, well, let us thank God for that wanting to war. It is a good sign. It is strongly probable evidence of the great work of sanctification, being more like Jesus, becoming more like him. All true saints are soldiers. Anything is better than apathy, stagnation, and indifference. I can't remember that word there. Deadness and indifference. And that should stir us. Do we feel that? Do we see things and say, Lord, that is the work of the enemy? When we see things going on the TV, when we see dreadful stories, that should stir our hearts. If it doesn't, then he's saying, look, it's a good sign that you're not being sanctified, you're not getting closer to him, you're drifting from him. Well, there's our standing. Thankfully, we stand in him. Again, be careful, we don't stand in our own strength. Use Paul's prayers for the churches. This is two prayers he's got. Ephesians 3 is 1:14-21.
For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, if you say, well, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray for the church. There's a prayer. What a great prayer. Pray, Lord, I pray, I'm kneeling before you. Whole family will know you. Glorious riches of your strength will empower them, and you will dwell in their hearts. They will know you. They'll know your love and know how great you are. Great prayer. Somebody don't know how to pray. He's praying for the church to be what it must be, to dwell in the Lord and the Lord to dwell in them. And there's nothing that he can't do. And although we try to minimize him sometimes, we say, oh God, that's too big, or I can't, don't believe that. Moses said, Lord, how are you going to feed these lot? He said, Moses, shush now, you just watch this. And he turned the wind, the quail came, and they were fed in a moment. So he's praying for them. Here's another prayer. It's just a fantastic prayer. Colossians 1, 9-14. Again, we read these before. Bless the Lord.
For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Man, what can I pray? Well, again, another fantastic prayer by Paul. Lord, I pray. I don't stop praying for you. And ask, fill you with the knowledge, his will, his understanding, that you, why? Because you live a life worthy of the Lord, you will please him, then be strengthened by him. Fill him with your strength, Lord, and remind them, we've been delivered. We're out of the darkness and we're into the kingdom of light. That's what God has done for us. Lord, remind them of that, that our inheritance is mighty. So when we think, oh Lord, I don't should, get hold of God's word. God's word directs us. It's fantastic praying over. Pray over your, over this church, over other churches. Lord, fill them with yourself. Fill them with their knowledge of you. Lord, they will walk worthy. They'll please you. People will say, oh, they know Jesus. What's the difference there with them? Because ultimately, see, God has got a great purpose for this church. Listen to this purpose. This is, again, amazing purpose that he has for this church. Ephesians 3, 10-13.
His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Amen. Again, unbelievable. Don't be discouraged, he said. Because of my sufferings. Oh, no, don't worry about that, he said. what Christ has done, and when our faith is in Christ, this is, listen to this verse again, his intent was that now through the church, his manifold wisdom, I like that word, multi-phase, much wisdom, multicolored wisdom of God should be known to who? First and foremost, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Because God is saving us, and again, through him, his strength in him, we again can resist the work of the enemy. And God says, look at that. Look at that. My wisdom through me and you. To the enemy. The enemy would come and trap us, and he'd love to do it. That's his work, is to fight against us. But the Lord can say, look, this is what I've done to them. As they trust me, as they've put their faith in me, as they take their stand in me, hallelujah, the wisdom of God is shown to the heavenly realms. And so that's why we, again, don't treat sin lightly, because the ramifications of sin is not just, you know, oh, it's not bad. No, let me tell you. We underestimate the power of holiness and the consequence of sin. They did that in Genesis. Oh, just a bite, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But the whole of creation fell. And the consequences of that. And you can see it in lives in the Old Testament where one king was, we can see it in David, where he was not great with women. And then Solomon, TME, he went off and had 1,000. And so we can see that perpetuate sometimes. We forget the power of sin. So we are to declare, show the wisdom of God. Well, our last verse, because he just said, come near. Hebrews 10, 19-25.
Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and have our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen. Starts with drawing near. And out of that drawing near, we are stirring, we are awakening, we are coming together and realizing who we are in him. This is Spurgeon. Where are you? You're in enemy country. You're a stranger. You're an alien. The world is not your friend. If it is, then you are not God's friend. And whoever's the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Be certain that you will find enemies everywhere. When you sleep, remember that you are resting on the battlefield. When you travel, suspect an ambush in every hedge. The trumpet still plays the notes of war. You cannot sit down and put the victory wreath on your head. You do not have a crown. You must wear a helmet and carry the sword. You must pray, watch, fight. Expect your last battle to be the most difficult, for the enemy's fiercest charge is reserved for the end of the day. And the devil is not afraid of a dust-covered Bible. That's the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.